Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday. We're almost to the weekend, huh? June 20th, already 2013. We are live here on KVOI AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice. Also, we're very proud of the fact that very powerful radio station, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we are here from 12:04 to 1 each weekday. We stream the show, so it's very convenient for you if you're at your desk. BuckmasterShow.com, KVOI.com. And we also make it very easy for you to listen to this program anytime, anywhere, on your schedule, really anywhere in the world. BuckmasterShow.com. We podcast to the TucsonCitizen.com carrying our program. Our other media partner with the podcast is the TucsonSentinel.com. Also, a big shout out to a couple of other media partners, Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. GVNews.com have our show prominently displayed on their website, as does the homepage of the award-winning blog for Arizona.com. We thank all of our media partners for helping get the word out about the Buckmaster Show. At the top of the show, we will talk with two of the leaders of the Arizona Technology Council. We'll talk about what that council is all about and maybe what some of the keys are to bringing in more high-tech, and usually those high-tech jobs are high-paying jobs, and they're good jobs for Southern Arizona. So what's the formula, if there is one, for getting more of them here? 30 minutes past the hour, it's our quarterly water report. David Modier, head of the Central Arizona Project, will give us an update on the situation with the CAP, as we are now in at least 12th year of a prolonged drought here in Arizona. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Bob Hendricks, Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show education contributor. He's one of two dozen contributors we have to this program. Dr. Hendricks has some thoughts about the now completed selection process for the new TUSD superintendent. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us on our live line, 790-2040. You can post a question or comment to our Facebook page. And at the same time, we invite you to follow us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's talk now about the Arizona Technology Council, which has a new chairman of the board, and he is the first chair from Tucson. He's Roger Vogel. He is the CEO of a company called Vontae, which is a developer of high-precision manufacturing solutions for the medical device industry. He's a former top executive of IBM here in Tucson. He's active in the community, serving as vice chair of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, vice chair of the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, and as a director of the Campus Research Corporation at the University of Arizona. Also, Mr. Vogel is joining me in studio. Alex Rodriguez is here. Alex is director of the Southern Arizona Office of the Arizona Technology Council. Alex is a past chair of the TUSD Governing Board. He's a best-selling author, former Raytheon executive, Army officer, and founder and managing director of strategic consulting firm Client Attraction Strategy Advisors. Alex and Roger, I could spend the whole half hour talking about both of your impressive resumes.
Thank you.
And where you went to school, and I know you went to Harvard Business School. Congratulations, Alex. And you went to Rensselaer. Both of you have very impeccable credentials, but I think the folks would love to hear about the Arizona Technology Council. So thank you both, first of all, for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Why don't we begin with the new chair of the Arizona Technology Council, Roger Vogel. What is the council, and how do you see your role as chair with it?
Sure. The council is the premier trade association for science and technology companies in Arizona. We work in a number of areas. We represent a number of technology segments, if you will. We like to think of them as aerospace, aviation, and defense, semiconductors, IT, information technology, telecom, optics, energy, and health and biosciences. And we really focus on four major areas: public policy advocacy, where we try, through our advocacy with the legislature to create a more tech-friendly environment here in Arizona so we can grow. We do a lot of educational work where we offer many events for our members to train their teams to improve their capabilities as a company. We produced a Tech Connect magazine, which is a good opportunity for our members to get their word out there. And then we aggregate our buying power. So essentially, we're a trade association that's driving to try to improve the tech company environment in Arizona. And our mission, frankly, I think our mission statement says it all. We want Arizona to become the fastest growing tech hub in the United States. Maybe not the biggest. We know we're not going to compete with San Jose.
Phoenix. Well, when it comes to Tucson, yeah, Phoenix, the rivalry.
Exactly. Yeah. Or perhaps Boston. But that's what we want to go after.
Let's talk with Alex Rodriguez about, give us a big picture. How many companies do you think do high technology in our area?
Oh, Bill, quite a bit. First of all, thank you for having us on the show today.
My
with
pleasure.
You and your listeners. And I do want to say that we are very privileged and fortunate for Roger's leadership. As you noted, this is the first time that a chairman is elected to the board of directors for the statewide organization, a very influential trade association. And for him to call Tucson home is a fantastic feat for all of us.
So overall, how many companies do you think?
Today we have over 750 active members with the Technology Council. Mm-hmm. And that ranges from the largest companies you would imagine, such as Honeywell and Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, many other companies that you would expect to see on that list. But what's interesting too, Bill, is that the vast majority of our membership base is actually small and mid-size companies. So the Tech Council represents very much the Arizona economy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your company, and I want to use that. I think it's a very good point that it's such a the council has so many diverse members and companies that are in just all different areas of high technology. Your company, Avante, tell us what exactly you do.
Sure. So we are a company that makes products that help other companies manufacture medical devices, in particular catheters and biopharmaceutical products. And when we talk about catheters, we're talking about, and it's not the sexiest thing to talk about on the radio, I suppose, but we're talking about all sorts of catheters.
Not just urinary catheters. Yes. There are other catheters that are very critical, certainly when it comes to the heart, cardiology.
That's exactly. Yeah. And for example, if you take a type of catheter that is used to put a stent in the heart to mm-hmm. save a life during a heart attack, Vontae's equipment is used to manufacture a portion of that catheter. And so that's a very important piece of what we do. We also make what we call sealers and sterile connectors for the biopharmaceutical industry. And there you have companies that are creating hopefully new drugs in what they term bioreactors, and they need to seal those products and reconnect them to other things. And so we make machines and instruments that allow them to do that. So we're a manufacturer of precision technologies for those and companies.
It's kind of a niche, and I think there are many companies in Arizona that have kind of this niche market, don't they?
Yes, it is. It's not a huge market, and in fact, in a way, it's kind of nice because we're in a niche where the very large companies really want to buy from us. They don't want to compete with us. And there are a lot of small companies that get involved in this type of work. So that works very positively for us.
All right. It's now about 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. On our live line, Jim Kelly is with us. Jim has a question about technology education. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. One of the things I'm interested in is are you guys helping any of the JTEDs or the community colleges write curriculum and implement curriculum so that we have a trained workforce for your companies?
Excellent question, Jim. Here is Alex Rodriguez.
Yes, Jim, thank you so much for that question. The answer is absolutely. We're intimately engaged in the STEM economy, if you will. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics, related jobs. Our community obviously is very much involved. Many jobs in this sector in particular require some sort of STEM background. And
science,
technology, engineering, and mathematics. genetics as they're doing their job functions. And Jim, in particular, we have a partnership and work with the Joint Technology Education District. As you know, that's the super district, if you will, where all school districts in our community form to participate in specific skill sets for vocational training that leads for to better employment by our employers.
And that district is known as JTED. How is their funding going? Did they were the legislature renewed their funding?
They did, but I'll tell you this, for if you want to have a bigger, quicker impact on the local economy, you need to support JTED a lot more. In fact, a report was just released by the Brookings Institution that shows the details about JTED jobs. We must support this area much better so that our companies can thrive.
I agree. We're going to take a break right here. It's about 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Roger Vogel is here. Roger's the CEO of a company called Vontae. He's the new chair of the chairman of the board of the Arizona Technology Council. Alex Rodriguez is here. He is the Southern Arizona director for the Arizona Technology Council. When we come back on the Buckmaster Show, how do we grow this sector? How do we get more high-tech jobs? And what happened to the legislature that might push us more in the direction of some favorable outcomes in getting more of those jobs? That's when we continue.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
You know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you out.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Thursday edition, having a very interesting discussion about the Arizona Technology Council and talking about high-tech jobs. With me in studio, the CEO of a firm called Vontae, Roger Vogel. He's the first chair of the Arizona Technology Council from Tucson, and Alex Rodriguez is here. Alex is the Southern Arizona Director for the Arizona Technology Council. We were talking before the break about JTED, Alex, the Joint Technology Education District here in yes. Tucson, and training the kind of workers that really that companies look for in the business.
Yes, yeah. Bill. This area is essential if we're going to grow the local economy. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We have companies, literally, that have machining that is sitting idle because they don't have they can't find the right talent to fill those roles. And increasingly, those job skills require more knowledge in the STEM area, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. So they're very applied roles, and that's why JTED and Pima Community College are essential to the workforce in this region. What we're trying to do with the Arizona Technology Council and our partners, organizations like JTED and Pima Community College, is help impact training in this area. Matter of fact, your caller earlier, Jim, was asking what can we do about mm-hmm. this. And in August, we are hosting an event to better align what our teachers are teaching in the classroom with JTED vocational or trades programs and what the requirements are by our businesses.
Well, you certainly know as the CEO of Vontae that finding the skilled labor is such a difficult task.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate to have the University of Arizona here, so getting engineering talent is possible. But as an example, in Vontae, we manufacture very, very small molds to make these catheter tips, but they're made on very large, complex machining equipment. Mm-hmm. We're lucky. We have four or five great machinists, but they're all later in their careers. And when you look around and say, who are going to follow these people, it's very hard to find them. And this is not just a Tucson problem. This is a problem across the United States.
Yes.
So training folks in these types of trades, in addition to engineering and science and mathematics, is critical. And that's why we're a huge supporter of JTED and hope for their success. And glad to see Pima Community College doing well mm-hmm. or doing better. And all of those things are critical if we're going to bring high-tech jobs and keep them here in Southern Arizona.
And if I may, Bill, sure. quickly, I do want to say one of the things that our Arizona Technology Council members love is we do a series of After Five events where we actually visit our member companies. And so they get to see in action the things that are happening in technology innovation in Southern Arizona. And so Roger's talking about some of the things that are happening at Vontae. Our members had a chance to witness the technology in action and do a tour of the facility. And it's a lot of fun when you're able to get a bird's eye view of what's happening across the region that way.
And Roger Vogel from Vontae, one of the things to grow the industry, you've got to have the technology-based workforce.
That's correct.
So that's, you know, I tease the fact, well, what are the keys to bringing more high-tech jobs?
Yeah, yeah. Education is one of the most fundamental things. So we need to continue to support our universities. That's absolutely essential. We need to see commercialization of technologies that's being developed at the universities. One of the things that I'm very pleased about is Tech Launch Arizona, with David Allen now coming from Colorado and forming a new unit within the university to help move that. That's a very positive thing. And by the way, they're members of our council as well.
Yes.
And so education is absolutely critical. So that's a big part of what we advocate for.
And the people need the space available, which we have in Southern Arizona, for their companies, right?
We do, and that's a big plus.
Right, Alex?
Yes, we absolutely do. Our companies, our strategy with the Tech Council is to focus on actually growing the small and mid-sized businesses that are already involved in technology. And then there's a wide array of business services around that that support our tech base. This sector is very much a foundational piece of the economy because as these companies grow, hopefully one or two will break out and become the next Intel, the next large-scale business.
How was the Arizona legislature to the Arizona Technology Council?
Yeah, we work quite a bit advocating there for what we feel are the types of environment that will help grow the companies that we have and to some degree attract others. And we've had some successes. Most recently, Arizona offers an R&D tax credit, in fact, a refundable tax credit, which means you don't even have to be a revenue-producing company yet to receive some help from the state. That's very positive. It started out as a $5 million fund per year. Now it will grow to 10 and 15 through some of the work that we've done with the legislature. That's been a success. One that's not been so successful, but we're not giving up, is capital formation. If you look around the United States, a lot of states participate in helping create venture funds, which bring capital into a state to help start companies and, you know, build an economy that raises all boats. We're not quite there yet, but we're going to continue in our efforts there with the State House.
What was the resistance to that, Alex Rodriguez?
Frankly,
I mean, it seems like a win-win for everybody. I mean, but I'm not a legislator, so
yes. obviously, money is key to start a business and to be able to fund it until it becomes profitable. And so, the Arizona Technology Council will continue that fight. Going into next session, we have the Public Policy Committee looking at ways to get more stakeholder buy-in by different partners. But frankly, what happened, too, is just the way that the legislature played out at the end of this session with the governor's initiatives, the budget issues, Medicaid and everything. The bill, frankly, died at sine die, as they call it, once the legislature shut down for the year. But we were very happy to have the bill that Roger just talked about pass because it tripled the effect to the local economy of the R&D tax credit.
Where can people find out more about the Arizona Technology Council?
Well, they can go online at arizonaaztechcouncil.org. aztechcouncil.org, and they can also reach out to us directly.
How was the council? When was the council formed?
We are celebrating our 10th year in its current formation, built on 20 previous years. So we've had a long presence in the state and really helping shape the future of the economy in the state.
And you're located where?
We hold a partnership with the University of Arizona Tech Park, and specifically we're at the Center for Innovation, and they've just been remarkable partners with the Tech Council.
And Vontae, are you privately held?
We are. Yeah, we're a private company, actually partially an ESOP company, which means our employees own about 40% of the company, which we're very proud of. And we're located on Tucson Boulevard, just north of Broadway.
And how many employees do you have, Roger Vogel?
We have just about 50. We're not a real large company.
But it is a very, as I say, kind of a niche market, very specialized.
Absolutely.
A growing market?
Growing, yeah. I'm proud to say that we grew 30% last year in our revenues, which was very good, and we're hoping to get close to repeating that performance again. You know, we're in an industry where, minimally invasive techniques such as catheters.
It's what we all want if we have to
all
have
want,
surgery.
And it's one of the lowest risks.
It's
less risk than taking a drug. It's less risk than putting a device in you that stays inside you. And so it's a growing market. There's lots of innovation going on. And, of course, that Vontae's very fortunate to be able to participate in that.
Roger Vogel, CEO of Vontae. He's the first chair from Tucson now of the Arizona Technology Council. Roger, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Alex Rodriguez has been with us. Alex, it's good to see you. Alex is the Southern Arizona Director for the Arizona Technology Council. And again, the website for the Tech Council?
aztechcouncil.org. And Bill, thank you. Real privilege to be on the show with you.
Thank you again, Alex and Roger. Thanks.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A jury of six women has been chosen to hear the second-degree murder trial of George Zimmerman. He fatally shot 17-year-old Trayvon Martin last year in Sanford, Florida. He is pleading not guilty, claiming self-defense. The House has rejected a five-year, half-trillion-dollar farm bill. It would have cut $2 billion annually from food stamps and allowed states to impose broad new work requirements on those who receive them. Republican senators searching for a compromise on an immigration bill have announced an amendment that would dramatically increase agents, technology, and fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 344 points, the NASDAQ off 80, the S&P 40 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon. Once a quarter here on the program, we focus on one of, at least what I think, is Arizona's most important issue, and that is it's an important resource. We're talking about water, the Arizona Water Quarterly on the Buckmaster Show, presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Modier. David, the former head of Tucson Water, he's now the general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. David, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill. A pleasure to talk with you again.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you again, and I'm curious to find out how we're doing. What's the latest on this proposed EPA haze rule for the Navajo Generating Station, a station that is so important? It's a power plant that provides more than 90% of the power for the Central Arizona Project. How's it doing?
Well, Bill, it's starting to have a little bit of progress with the EPA. We hope that the work that we and the other owners of the Navajo Generating Station, as well as the Navajo Nation and the water settling tribes here in central and southern Arizona, are having an impact with the EPA. We have been negotiating now in a small group session with each other in order to put together a proposal to EPA, which would solve some of the issues that the EPA appears to have. While we do not necessarily agree with them, we realize the reality of the situation, and so we're working together to resolve those and at the same time ensure the continued viability of the Navajo Generating Station well into the future.
Well,
we are making progress.
David, I want to point out to our listeners that this is all about, I guess, the EPA's concerns over the nitrogen oxide emissions, that there's a concern about the visibility over the Grand Canyon area, correct?
That's correct. It's the proposed ruling by the EPA deals with their regional haze regulations, which is created, in their opinion, by the nitrous oxide emissions from the Navajo Generating Station. And what we are trying to do is trying to resolve those concerns that the EPA has at the lowest cost possible to all of our customers and citizens that we provide service to, at the same time provide for the extended life of the Navajo Generating Station. It's been complicated during these last months with the planned exit now of Nevada Energy from its share of the Navajo Generating Station, along with Los Angeles Department of Water and Power's departure. Both of these have made formal decisions to exit the plant in the end of the current lease and current contract, which is at the end of 2019. So it's made it more difficult for us to get where we need to go, but I think we are still making some headway and hope that we can get there in the very near future.
David, why did Nevada and L.A. opt out? Why are they decided that they're not going to be involved?
Well, Los Angeles early on indicated that they were going to be exiting the plant because California passed state law well over a year ago that requires all the power utilities within California to base all of their energy needs on non-carbon emitting electrical power sources over a period of time. And so it was necessary, since the lease and the current contracts expire in 2019, it was necessary for Los Angeles to indicate that they could not enter in a new contract to extend their power source from Navajo Generating Station beyond the end of 2019. And as I said, that conforms with California state law, and then their city council also passed ordinances directing them to divest themselves of the coal-fired generating station.
Okay, so
Nevada...
Yeah, go ahead.
Nevada has been under pressure for some time by Senator Reid and others in Nevada to exit both the coal-fired plant that Nevada Energy owns in Nevada, and as well as their share of the about Navajo Generating Station. And in this past legislative session in Nevada, the state legislature passed a bill allowing and directing the Nevada Energy Corporation to exit the Nevada Generating Station within the Navajo Generating Station by the end of 2019, and provided them that they would be given certainty in revenues needed to construct additional gas-fired power units without them having to go through the Public Utility Commission. So they were almost given a certainty of the revenue that they need to do that, and so it was expeditious for them to comply with the legislation and also monetarily wise to exit the plan in 2019.
Folks can find out more at capsmartenergy.com. Keep up to what's going on with this ongoing negotiations over the Navajo Generating Plant. I see that on June 6th, the board that governs the CAP made a decision concerning the property tax rate. Bring us up to speed on that.
Well, it was a difficult decision by our board and certainly even by the staff to recommend this, but the reality of the situation is that we are facing substantial cost increases over the next 5 years and beyond, most all of which are related to the Navajo Generating Station, either the execution of a new lease agreement with the Navajo Nation in order to keep the plant operating on Navajo Nation land, as well as the potential EPA ruling and the cost that may come down from that ruling over the coming years. We estimate that over the life of the plant, if we get it approved and it extends its life out to 2044, that we'll endure costs of almost $1 billion for energy and lease payments over those years. So the effort of the board was to begin to take a step of setting aside the revenues that are generated by this increase in property taxes, which, by the way, is the first property tax increase in 25 years by this board, but to set those monies aside in a reserved account that money will be used to address those costs that come down either from the execution of the new lease with the Navajo Nation or costs that are incurred in compliance with the new EPA regulations.
And so on a 100 for every $100,000 home, we're talking what, about $4 per year? Is that what you're figuring?
That's correct. It calculates out across the three county area. For a $100,000 home, this will equal about $4 additional in property tax per year.
David, how are we doing on the water situation? David Modier with us on our Water Quarterly. Another low runoff year, is that what I'm hearing? This would be the 10th year out of the past 14 on the Colorado River that there's been low runoff. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're looking at somewhere around 75 to 80% of normal runoff. We had some good late spring snows and rains in the Rockies, but not enough to get up to normal. So we'll still finish this year below normal on the runoff, and certainly makes the opportunity to go into shortage that much more certain over the next few years, unless we should get a very good winter this coming winter or the next. And also, we're making the plans that we have been engaged in for some time dealing with the shortage when it comes. At the same time, we're taking a lot of steps with the other basin states and other agencies that are interested in making certain that the Colorado continues to provide a sustainable supply of water in order to enhance that supply over the years. And conservation is one of them, and Tucson is one of the shining lights in the area of conservation, and we hope that people will follow Tucson's example and even do even more than that in the coming years to stave off the impacts of lower flows in the Colorado River.
David, let's see if we can squeeze in a quick question from one of the Buckmaster Show listeners about a recreational trail around the CAP. Go ahead, Bobby. You're with David Modier.
Good afternoon, guys. David, Tucson misses you.
Well, we miss Tucson also.
Quickly, Bobby.
There's apparently a planned trail that you and the county are working cooperatively on, potentially along the CAP alignment there on the backside of the Tucson Mountains. Could you talk a little bit about that planning process timeline and potentials? Thank you.
We are definitely working with the county to develop that trail. The CAP board has taken a position a number of years ago to work cooperatively with local agencies to develop trails that one day we hope will traverse the entire length, 336 miles of the canal of public trail use. So we are working with the county to develop almost 40 miles of trail in the Tucson area. So it's been a great cooperative effort with Pima County and Parks and Rec, and it's ongoing, and we hope that the trail will be completed over the next several years so that the public can have good access to that trail along the canal, and it'll link to some of the other trails that have already been constructed in the Phoenix area, in Pinal area, and past years.
David Modier, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
I appreciate it, Bill. Good talking with you.
Talking with David Modier. It's the Arizona Water Quarterly presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polifchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. There's always fun going on over in Silver City. The Hummingbird Festival is coming up. That will be July 19th through the 21st. That will be followed by the Clay Festival, which is going to be really a premier event for all the folks who love pottery. Silver City is just 3 hours east of Tucson, and here's the good part. 15 degrees cooler. Plenty of great places to stay in the area. Wildwood Retreat in Hot Springs, Silver City KOA, and the list goes on and on. The full list is at southwestnewmexico.org. Check out Silver City. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He's the one-time named Arizona's top school superintendent. Dr. Hendricks, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Well, you know the big story everybody's talking about here in Tucson, the TUSD Governing Board, by a vote of 4-1, selecting H.T. Sanchez, an interim school superintendent from the Odessa, Texas area. He was the only candidate that the board put forward for the job, and he will be the district's new superintendent. Your reaction?
Well, I followed this case very closely because I've conducted a number of searches. My firm has searched for a number of superintendents across the state. I've also been a candidate in searches, and I find the process that the board followed somewhat intriguing. It's certainly not unusual for a board to bring, you know, one final candidate in, you know, for that that follow-up visit. But the fact that they brought in four qualified candidates for interviews and we don't know who those other three are is really highly unusual. I would say that within my practice and experience, there is a lot more transparency. And this is the board's call, not the search firm. I believe the search firm probably would have been willing to do it either way, but it's bothersome to me that we would not know who those other candidates are. And not only is it helpful to know the qualifications of the other candidates, but I think it would behoove the board and certainly the person who was selected for the public to know that this individual, you know, was, you know, last in standing, the very best choice. And we don't know that unless we've had a chance to see who those other candidates are.
You have talked on this program about a warning about four types of superintendents to avoid. You wrote a column in the Arizona Daily Star articulating it, and Tim Steller had a column in the Star as well, kind of going over your four types of superintendents to avoid: the barnstormers, the shoppers, the escape artists, and the carpetbaggers. Are you fearful that Mr. Sanchez fits in one of these categories?
I am, and let me say, I'm sure he's a very fine gentleman, and I'm sure he has many of the attributes that obviously the board wants in a candidate. But I am concerned about anyone that I see who has a extensive pattern of mobility. And with his mobility, you know, I always look at career age and, you know, the number of years of experience a person has had in the field. And I think it's very safe to say that the breadth and depth of experience of this individual, given that, you know, he's been at a number of places and not any place very, very long, you know, ought to raise some kind of question about his ability to do the job. That remains to be seen, but I think it's a question that, you know, begs answering, and obviously the board, at least four board members, believe that that experience was sufficient for him to do, you know, a really, really huge job.
And then tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we will hear from Dr. Mark Stegeman, board member, TUSD board member, who was the lone dissenting voice. We'll also hear probably Cam Juarez, another board member who was in favor of Mr. Sanchez. He is expected to join in the conversation tomorrow as well. So I wanted to put that in there. Did I hear, but as far as you're concerned, and you've been in the education business for decades, would you categorize this, Robert Hendricks, as highly unusual?
I think it is unusual. Again, the whole process of transparency, of letting everyone know who the other final candidates were. The protocol, Bill, in a search is, and all candidates know this, the point in time where you turn the corner is when you invite an individual in for an interview. That person then becomes a finalist. And at that point, I've always told candidates, at that point, expect that everyone is going to know that you're a candidate and that we're going to release this information to the media. The public needs to know. And, you know, if there were any other kind of agreements, they certainly would be unusual because people are in this business, and if they're going to throw their hat in the ring, they need to know that up to a certain point, there's a safe harbor. But once you become a finalist and you actually travel in for an interview, everybody ought to know who you are, what your credentials are, and why you're interested in the position.
We're talking with Robert Hendricks, Dr. Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. And does this put Mr. Sanchez, and I have not met the man, we'll look forward to having him on the show. Sure, he is a fine individual, but does this put him at somewhat of a disadvantage for his start at TUSD?
I think it is a disadvantage, and you know, it is it's a disadvantage not of his doing. I am sure he's been in other situations where he was well aware of who the other candidates were, and the public was as well. I think the public, you know, has a much better opportunity to judge the credibility of the decision if they knew who else was out there in the field. Now, maybe there would be some disagreement, and understand by statutory obligations, the board holds all the cards here. The board does have the final decision, but the reality is I think the process might have gone a little bit more smoothly if people didn't perceive this as being a rush to judgment with only one person in center court, and we knew who these other people who probably were also very well qualified, who these people were.
Well, we may learn who the other three superintendent finalists were. The Arizona Daily Star has sued TUSD to compel the district to release the names of the finalists in the search for the new superintendent.
I'm going to predict, Bill, that those names will be released because there are numerous other cases around the country where the press has asked for the final names. Now, when to ask for the names of all the 64 that initially applied, that's not really a reasonable request, but when you get, again, when you cross that threshold to the interview, I think people have the right to know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we will know. Robert Hendricks, Bob Hendricks, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, a follow-up to our interview with the author of The Mutatis Procedure, his new book, John Krasielski. Folks were wondering, how do they get his books? Well, there are a couple of ways, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, or you can go to his website, which is simply Krasielski, that's KRYGELSKI.com. He's having kind of an open house book signing at his publishing, which is Stars Publishing and Luminant Gallery, 522 North Alvernon, this Saturday from 2 to 7, 2 in the afternoon to 7 in the evening for John Krasielski. John C. Scott comes up this afternoon from 3 to 5 with his show, and then Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8 in the morning. Then Friday, it's Friday Focus on Buckmaster. We will really dive into this superintendent situation with Dr. Mark Stegeman, TUSD board member. That's tomorrow. Should be a jam-packed show. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.